So
here we are, episode 10.
Well, what, really?
Yes.
Episode 10?
What? I think so.
Wow.
I could
We've
be
had 10 episodes?
Wrong.
That's crazy.
Yeah, we're 10 deep in this one.
10 deep, yo. Well, I'd like to personally welcome Lily to the podcast.
Lily!
Yeah, I'm Lily.
Welcome, Lily. Thanks for coming. So yeah, today was a good day. Started off a little overcast, but I actually really appreciate overcast days.
You got zero damn eggs today, though.
Zero eggs. I know. The ladies are having trouble.
Is it the weather, you think? The heat? Then it stressed them out?
I think it might be.
The past couple days of 90 plus degrees.
Yeah.
I'd go out there and their mouths would be open. They're all...
panting.
We're dying.
The chickens were panting.
Totally. They were panting. Yeah, their little tongues and their... Their beaks were wide open and I could see their tongues moving. I was like, oh.
It said in that thread that I was looking up about the eggshells, it said that you can have problems with eggs from, it said heat stress, noise stress, light stress.
Interesting.
It had all this whole, like, chickens seem to get stressed out.
They're easily stressed out. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is true.
Well.
It's like everything in our backyard. You know, we're right next to the freeway. That stresses them out.
Yeah. I don't think it does, though.
I think at this point, they're probably pretty used to it.
No, I think they're like, don't even notice it. Yeah. They don't care.
I was wondering about that today. I'm like, no, they probably tune it out at this point.
But the heat was definitely affecting them.
Can't tune that one out.
Mm-mm.
No.
I couldn't turn it out. I was dying.
Air condition your coop.
I know. I was thinking about that. I was like, how can we put in a little AC unit down there for the babies?
How can we turn this
their little
into
tail feathers?
Something crazy.
Right.
And I'm thinking they need several stories.
Staircase.
Yeah, exactly. They need like a loft area where they can have their creative time.
Yeah. They definitely need like a separate space.
I'm not building
space.
Any of this shit, just so we're clear on that point.
Yeah, I can build it. I don't need you.
Okay.
Okay.
She knows where the Home Depot is.
Yeah.
She does. She doesn't know where my tools are.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. When we put the coop together and we put up the fence around it, I was at Home Depot and I was buying fencing supplies. And there was this guy and he's like looking at me with this look on his face like, what the hell? So he asked me, what are you getting ready to do? And I said, oh, I'm going to build a fence. And he's like, really? You're going to build a fence? And I said, yep. And he was like, huh? I'm like, well, what kind of a fence? He's like, he just didn't believe that I could build a fence.
You should have told him, I'm building a cage for the man I trapped that came up to me in the Home Depot.
That's right. Don't fuck with me. Yeah,
I was
underestimating
my skills.
And then he kind of followed me around. Like he was watching. He wanted to give me advice. And I'm like, dude, I got it. I can do this. It's okay, man. Back off.
That's exhausting.
He was really impressed by the end of it, though. He saw all my stuff. He's like, wow, you really are going to build a fence. I'm like, yep.
Yeah, it's fucking fence posts and fencing.
Yeah. You're like, no, I just do this to pick up men.
That's right.
I heard old men middle-aged was impressed men. With fence making. So I comes here to pick up men.
And it works.
Yeah.
It works
You're
real
like,
well.
It obviously works. Mm-hmm. Come on over.
You, sir, will be flayed by the end of the evening.
Yeah.
We're going to have you
in my cage. This is not
Guess
a fence,
who's
going to
be
a cage. For you. Surprise.
No friends, just us. My knife sharpening kit.
That'll leave
an impression.
That'll get you left alone, though.
Totally.
You always have to say something like that, though.
Well, I probably should come up with a better story next time I build a fence.
Yeah.
But no worries, Chad. We're not going to build a loft for our chickens.
I know. We're not going to run power down there so we can then run an AC
Although
unit
I think if it continued to be that hot, I would do something. Because that, like, can't. It's not sustainable.
What do you think chicken life is like?
A swamp cooler. You could do that, right? Maybe not central air, but...
They probably don't have many chicken farms in Arizona, in like Phoenix, Arizona.
No, but
Arizona.
I guarantee that they have them in the Central Valley here.
Well, they also have them in places like Missouri and Iowa where
and they
get,
have cooling units.
Hot.
They have cooling units in those buildings.
They do?
Yeah,
they have
totally.
Fans.
They have fans and cooling units. They absolutely do.
Okay.
I'd be surprised.
I don't
they
know
have
if
cooling
I don't
units.
Know what I'm talking about, but I'm pretty
You're
sure
like,
they
I'm
do.
Pretty sure they have air conditioning.
You have
and lofts. Yeah.
And like velvet red chairs for the really smart chickens.
Reclaimed wood floors.
And little chicken
swings. Don't you
swings
know anything?
Yeah. They can play on and teeter totters.
Chad talked about doing a chicken swing. And maybe Cher would stop picking on. Oh, we have to tell our listener about the new plan to get Cher to stop picking on Easy. So we spray this, like, I forget what it's called, but that it's like
the
a
purple
back
stuff.
The purple stuff. Yeah. So we sprayed her back with this purple stuff that's supposed to be a repellent so that Cher won't be attracted to attack her. And it kills fungus and bacteria. So it's supposed to be good for her.
And it stains fingers.
Yeah, so we know it works.
They get caught in the overspray.
You're going to have to wear gloves.
Yeah, apparently.
Or just have purple fingers.
It'd be
You'll
like
be the purple Peter, purple finger, purple people eater. Wait, what?
No, I have none of those things.
No.
No. It's like I've voted in a Middle Eastern country.
What?
Yeah, because that's what they do. They put indelible ink on their fingers so that, you know.
Oh,
so they know that
so they know they voted.
Voted.
So it's, yeah, stop.
So you can't vote twice, right? Brilliant.
It's such a huge
thing. Can you imagine if they tried to employ that in America? No way.
Instead of the I voted sticker and that stupid little receipt that you get at the top of your paper right? ballot, you actually have to stick your finger in the ink.
Dye your finger like, well, it's basically like fingerprinting.
Yeah, same but that kind stuff of ink. Wipes off. This stuff doesn't wipe off for like 48 hours or whatever.
Yeah, that definitely sticks.
So I remember I wanted, when I was a kid, I don't remember where this came about, but I had this idea that for criminals, we could just like paint them colors so that you could see them coming. Like the pink guy would be a burglar and the red guy would be a rapist and the blue guy would be, you know what I mean? So like you could identify criminals by their form of criminal activity.
Seems like it could be problematic.
I think it probably wouldn't work in America, but I guarantee you it would keep people from thieving or raping. Well, maybe not. But think about it. If you like had to wear the color of your transgression, you'd be less likely
to commit said transgression. I think because
really, you think people would be okay with just walking around being purple? No. Yep. No, they wouldn't.
No, they wouldn't be okay with it, but they would still do it, get caught, and then be like, oh, well, shit. Now I'm purple.
I don't think so. I think the whole reason that people don't do things is because they are pressured by society to stop. Think about littering, for example. People didn't stop littering because they felt, this is better for the environment, that I don't throw this McDonald's bag out the window. No, they didn't do it because they look like an asshole.
Yeah, I mean... So like
it's peer
public
pressure.
Shaming.
Public shaming. Absolutely.
I'm all for public shaming.
Me too.
That's only going to go so far
shame.
Because, I mean, how many states have...
Who should we pick on first?
How many fucking states have the death penalty? People still murder in those states and still get killed because of it.
Yeah, that's a pretty big
I mean, all right,
drawback.
I said corrected. Fine. Yeah. Fine, it wouldn't have worked.
But for social things, I think it does. I mean, that's the only thing
but
that
see,
works.
Death
that's what PC culture is. It's shaming.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I feel like the coloring of skin is way more present than a possible death. Because you think, well, it's not going to happen to me, right? But once you're there, you're there. Once you're in prison and on death row, it's done. But if you have to walk around with this color...
But that's their only punishment? They're just like, well, you're a crazy psychotic murderer, but you're painted red so people can see it coming, so...
I don't know. I hadn't thought it
that
through.
Helps.
I hadn't thought...
how old were you when you came up with this thesis?
I think I was in junior high.
Oh, well, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm like, you haven't thought about it since then. You're like, wait a second.
I had this idea. Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Like
I
now that
thought
I've thought it through the logistics, it doesn't
no, I
seem
think,
like it'd work.
I think the plan was that they would spend time in prison but when they got out. Like they would be colored. And so
Forever?
Instead of parole. No,
instead
no, no, no.
Done, you know.
No, like there has to be a certain amount of time. But of course, this obviously isn't scientifically possible.
Yeah.
That's why I was in junior high.
Yeah. You're like, and?
I still think there's something to it. Probably not a society I'd want to live in.
Yeah, sounds pretty dystopian.
Totally. So some people, when they're in junior high...
Maybe the basis for a Margaret Atwood book.
Right, yeah. Right. People dream of utopians. I dream of dystopian societies where everyone has a different color. Well, actually, your social media popularity determines what color you are.
Yeah, that sounds perfect. There's it's like Sesame Currency.
It's like Black Mirror.
I was going to say it's a Black Mirror episode, which, by the way, listener, if you have not watched Black Mirror, it's fantastic. Well, maybe fantastic isn't the right word. It's disturbing. little too close to home. Actually, the deeper they get into the seasons, the more I'm like, oh my God, this could happen.
Yeah.
It's disturbing.
That's why.
It's really good, though.
That's what makes it good.
It's good cinema.
Yeah.
Right. It's good television. I'm not sure what it is. It's not cinema. Isn't it Netflix?
It's BBC, I think. Okay. But I don't know if it's like BBC is doing it, producing it, or if Netflix is just licensing it from him,
yeah.
Or if they're actually, because they did the Bandersnatch one, which was the Choose Your Own Adventure.
Which I hated.
I think that was solely Netflix.
you loved it.
I liked it. I thought it was cool. I want to watch it again. So
Madeline liked it too.
Yeah, I thought it was cool.
I went to every single, I spent one night watching it for, I don't know, like 3 hours. Going through, that didn't work.
So, okay.
Yeah, it took me like 2 hours, I think, to watch.
So for me, I felt like I was complicit in the murdering of that person. And I was not okay with that. So it's like one thing to watch a murder.
Murder of what person? Uh-oh. I might not have seen the one you saw. I didn't make the same choices. The guy falling off the balcony?
I don't know.
It's been so long since I've done it, but
I went back and changed a few and did through a few different ones, but I didn't go back and change everyone. So who?
But I thought it was the same result, no matter what you did. It always ended in the same thing.
No, it ended up in, there were multiple endings.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You start off by choosing like the cereal to get you into it. You're like, oh, well, okay,
seems pretty benign, but.
It is, but what would be better is if the cereal you choose actually makes a difference in the story, and it doesn't appear.
I thought it did, because the choice, when I went back and changed my options, it did change the story itself, not just the
The
end.
Because we changed it, and it didn't change our story, I thought. Am I
don't
wrong?
Think all of them did, because some of them, it went right back to the exact same thing. So it's like kind of like, no matter what you choose,
it goes back to that, and you have to make it.
You have to make a decision.
Yeah, okay. But other ones did change. They did change it.
Okay. Well, all right. I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to ruin your next experience.
Right. I know. I'm like, wait, what?
But okay. So I felt complicit in the violence that was happening. Like I had to make a violent choice, and I wasn't okay with that. Like that for me was like just beyond my level of comfort.
I just liked it because I read a lot of Choose Your Own Adventures when I was about 8.
Right.
So.
Me too. But it always ended out the same way for me. It's like
no matter what
I'd make, like I'd get like 3 choices into it. And, oh, I'm dead. Great. Now I got to go back. God damn it. Like, oh, that was the wrong choice, obviously.
I always like I like that. I think it was pretty clever of them to do a show like that. It's pretty neat.
I think it's definitely the future. I think we're going to see a lot more of that.
Hmm. And is the future dystopian?
We're going to see a lot more colors in people. Yeah. And a lot more choose your own adventure in cinema. Yeah, that's my prediction. I'm not running for president, so I can just be real honest about my my view of the future. Good God.
It's going to be a rainbow of colors out there, and
that's right.
Every series is going to be a choose your own adventure.
I like that.
I don't make particularly good choices for myself.
Yeah, right.
In general, so.
I think you do.
I don't.
You married me. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Mm. You set yourself up for
I did.
That one, Chad.
And that's, I'll own that one.
God, I hope so. Hey, you can get out in like 14 days.
Right.
Not even that, 10 days. In 10 days.
10 days.
You don't have to sign up for another year. You can just like bow out, 20 and out.
What are you talking about?
Our anniversary.
Oh.
You're like, wait, what's happening? So we have this joke that every year on our anniversary, we sign up for another year. Mm. And that we have like, either of us can like, okay, you know what? I'm good. Like
our
it's been a good run, but this is, I'm out. This is it. Yeah. I think our friend Maurice actually believes that's true. I'll have to ask him. Maurice?
What if do you are think? A listener.
I think he's our listener.
Hey, he believes what is true?
That we sign a new contract.
Do that?
Yeah.
It's like a cell phone contract.
Yeah. Except ours is 1 year instead
of
2.
But you get about upgrades.
You know, we talked about this just the other day. Like, I really think we should upgrade me because I'm starting to have hot flashes and I'm feeling, you know, my knees are getting a little bit cranky and I'm just thinking we should upgrade me.
Yeah.
You are eligible for an upgrade.
Thank you, Dr. Mu. Yeah, this is like, this is my utopian future. I can get new knees. Of course, you already can. But it's, I want it to be simpler and less painful and less expensive.
Yeah.
Right.
You're like, in my utopian future,
I have new
knees. I'll have more money.
I have more money.
I will run shit.
Pretty much solves everything right there.
Right, I'll run shit. I don't have arthritis in my shoulder. Ah, jeez. Getting old. It's so much fun.
Fucking sucks.
We complain about it and we're in our 40s. What's going to happen when we're in our 60s?
Hopefully I outlive this cramp that's in my foot for the, like, the past couple months.
Really? You had a cramp in your foot for a couple months?
I still have it. Day in and day out.
Good God.
I don't know what the hell is going on.
I think it's a cramp at that point. I think it's well, just
it,
how your foot
just
is now.
It feels like, well, that's the thing. It's like, well, no, this is the new normal.
Yeah, right. This is my foot now.
It's every goddamn day something happens to me and I have to add like a new stretch to my morning routine. So it's like,
pretty soon you're going to be stretching for 8 hours a day and working for half an hour.
Like, what the shit?
Chad doesn't start till 4:30 when he's done with his stretch routine.
Good you need call. To have some sort of weird, like, device that you're hooked up
that
to.
That stretches you while you work. That's a really good idea. That's brilliant.
Yeah. Mm. Just spin and then, you know, stretches your spine. And then
or we could, if we had enough money, we wouldn't have to work. Or we could hire someone to, like, stretch us, like a, you know, an ART guy, you know?
Yeah.
Motion is lotion. Yeah, that's right. Active release technique.
Yeah, ART.
Isn't that it?
Yeah, yeah. So you can be working and being brilliant.
And someone can
be stretching
my leg for me.
And he's like, oh, I'm going to work your right shoulder, man. Okay, just try and relax.
Then you're just typing with your mouth.
Okay, got it. No, you got your left hand. You got your left hand.
Yeah, but you've had ART, right? There's no relaxing involved in that.
It's fucking awful. But you know, it's awesome, too. It's actually really amazing. Yeah, so they like, if your shoulder doesn't do something, then they force it to do that. And they like hold everything in the right place and then pull the muscles and pull and stretch and active release.
Wow.
At the end of it, you feel really worked over, but looser and happier.
And in the middle of it, you're just screaming.
A little broker because it's kind of expensive. I know it sounds bad, but it's actually, well, hopefully you have someone who knows what the fuck they're doing and they don't injure you.
Yeah. I'd want to get a referral from a trusted source for someone who's gonna
and Chad went to him and he really appreciated him. So it's like a stretch technique combined with kind of a massage combined with a torture device. You know, that it's really expensive.
Which is why we don't do it anymore,
because we can't afford it.
Wow. But I don't know if I'd do it in the first place. That sounds,
it was awesome. It really helped my shoulder. I wish I could afford to do it again. I will at some point.
Is it? Was it originally meant for like athletes? Was it
kind of athletes? Like, totally. That's exactly.
Right. That makes sense. Because I'm like, is this just something they have at spas?
We don't go to spas.
It's like a Russian place where they're like hitting you with leaves.
It's like the Korean. And, the Korean spa. I went to a Korean spa. It was absolutely bizarre, awesome. Kind of terrifying. It wasn't terrifying, but it was incredibly awkward. Did I ever tell you about it?
No.
I will tell you now.
Where'd you go to a Korean spa? In New York or?
No, it was here in San Diego. Huh. Yeah. So our friend Christy, it was her birthday and she said, hey, I'm going to the Korean spa. I'm bringing some girlfriends. Do you want to go? And I was like, sure, I'll go. Not really a spa person, but what the hell? So we go to the spa and you walk in and you've got your lockers and everyone's naked. And I'm like, wow, these people are really like free and feeling very comfortable. Ah, that's cool. They give you a robe and they give these little shoes to you. And so I'm like, wait, what's happening? And so Christy's naked. She puts on her robe and then we walk into this big room and it's got a pool. It's got a cold spa and a hot spa. And then it's got all of these massage tables that are covered in plastic and they're all like maybe 4 feet, 3 feet from each other lined up. And you know, those like mats that they have in restaurants, like in the kitchen so that they can spray everything down. So the floors are covered in these plastic mats. And then they've got the plastic massage benches and then all the naked people laid out. And then the women giving the massages are naked too.
what?
Which in and of itself is just kind of fucking weird, right? So a couple of them wear little boy shorts, but most of them are just naked. Because, like, it's messy. It's like there's water being slung around, all kinds of weird shit happening. So you walk in and you're like, where the fuck am I? Like, it sort of looks like you would expect a meat department in the back of a grocery store. Like, there's everything's covered in plastic so they can keep the mess up. It's just nutty. So I hang up my robe and I get in the pool with all the other naked people. And I'm like, this is fucking weird. And I'm like, okay, I think I'm okay with this. And they want you to shower first. So you go and you shower before you can get into the pool or the spas. And then you get on the table and these women, they don't speak English, first of all. So they kind of yell at you in Korean and they like manhandle you and move you around in weird positions. And then they're like, they take like these buckets of water and they throw them on you. And then they were like scrubbing you. And then they like move your arm up. And then they take this wet towel that they kind of put around you and like move you around with it. It was the most bizarre experience. And I remember Christy kind of looked over at me like, how's she handling this? I'm like, I'm cool. I can do this. At the end of it, she's like, do you think you'll ever go back? I'm like,
nope.
No, I don't think I will.
I'm good.
It was an interesting experience, but no, thank you. But the funny thing is like, there's this one part where, they do your face, right? So they have this like pink, this bottle. It's like a squeeze bottle, like you'd see ketchup or mayonnaise in a fast food restaurant, but it's got some pink liquid. I think women are used to seeing that when they get pedicures and such. It's got warm lotion in it. So they spray this all over you and they use this as their massage lotion and they spray it on your face. And then they put, I'm trying to remember, it's been a couple of years. They put this wet washcloth over your eyes. So you can't see anything. And you're like super fucking slimy at this point. And your hair, by the way, is just wet because you're just covered in wetness. And then they take cucumbers and they grate them. And so you don't know what's happening. You're like, what is happening? And like, and it sounds like you're getting ready
heads
to
up
die.
Be nice, ladies.
Yeah, like they must be sharpening something so that they can more easily cut me into pieces. Like that's your brain's going like, what is happening? And so there's got the cucumber thing going. And then they take the wet washcloth off of your face. And then they covered your whole face in shredded cucumbers. Which I'll be honest with you, feels kind of cool. I mean, literally, it feels kind of cool.
Cool like a cucumber?
It's cool like a cucumber. Yeah. Anyway, it was really freaky.
It sounds like you were being like prepped kind of as a food item.
Totally. I felt like I was in the back of a butcher and I'm like, are they going to serve me in the Korean restaurant next door? Like, what have I done? Am I paying for this? What is happening? Yeah.
Wow.
And then the women use the bathroom. Like there's a bathroom, obviously, in the back. And I walked by and one of the ladies who gives the massages was in there peeing, but she didn't bother closing the door. And I looked in at her. I'm like, sorry, excuse me. That was weird. She's like, meh, 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 meh. Yeah, they don't speak any English either. So
I don't think I would awkward. Enjoy that.
No, you don't think you'd like that? Davita was really freaked out. She was like, what the? Seriously? Never.
Davita went.
No, she. I told her about it. Yeah, you're like, what?
No, like, no, Davita would have just turned around and been like, I'm out.
She wouldn't have done it. Yeah. Whereas I'm like, okay, I'll go along. And then after I'm like, what was that? Christy does it once a month.
Really? So she does it that often?
She does it, well, pretty frequently. She tries to go as much as she can because it's cheap. But she does what's, so I did the wet massage, which was a really big mistake. I didn't really get the whole wet part when I signed up for that.
Sopping
wet massage, with buckets of warm liquid. She did what's called a scraping. And so they use...
Which doesn't sound any better, by the way.
They use Irish Spring soap and they scrape your body. And the whole point is to get the dry skin off, right? So they scrape her whole body. And I remember at one point I looked over... And the whole reason I thought of it was because of the active release technique. They've got her arm up in the air and she's in this kind of this awkward position and they're like scraping her with this bar of soap. And I was like, ugh, at least that's not happening to me. But she loves it. She thinks it's awesome. Huh.
Interesting.
But I will tell you, her skin is so fabulous and soft when she's done. I totally get it. I think if you got used to it and you understood what was happening, I could see where you could get addicted to it.
Right, but Irish Spring?
No. Okay. So she learned you can bring your own soap. So for the first couple times, she smelled like Irish Spring. And then she saw this other lady who was like, oh, I brought my fabulous lavender and orange peel soap. And they're like, yeah, whatever. They take the soap and they use that. So now she brings her own soap.
Yeah. Just don't accidentally bring like something that's got a bunch of oatmeal in it.
Right. You're like, there's abrasions all over your body. Oh, that doesn't sound good.
Oh, wow.
The look on your face is awesome.
I'm trying to picture
perplexed.
That,
why would you do that? Yeah,
why,
she loves it.
Pleasant.
Well,
newsflash, it's not.
I think it's more that it's just really good for your skin and it's cheap.
There's no way. I mean,
like, how cheap are we talking though?
So are a lot of things. A lot of things are good for your skin.
I don't
and cheap.
Remember. Yeah, like the little fishes
it's
that
like
eat all the dead skin. No, come on. No comparison.
That's what it sounds like to me.
So what would be awesome is to have Christy describe it and just like totally contrast my description to her description and then see
and
what
so
the real thing is.
They take your
right?
arm and they hold it above your head and they lovingly.
And the beautiful Korean women and they're like totally open and. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to ask her. We'll have to have her.
Everyone's naked and
it's free and loving. They're not hippies. They're just Korean. Yeah, it's weird. Weird. Can you imagine if you went into a regular spa in America and they were naked? You'd be like, what the fuck? But because they're Korean, you're like, oh, okay. Okay. I guess this is what's happening.
This is just what we do.
But anywhere else, you'd be like, what the fuck? I'm leaving. This is not okay. Funny. Yeah. What we'll put up with. Well,
I don't know, it's all very contextual, right? So
totally.
So, yeah, I mean, you deal with it at the gym, right?
Naked ladies in the gym?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like, I don't mind seeing naked bodies.
Like,
I don't
you
care.
You just expect it there.
Right,
but it's
right.
Just the whole spa thing, you know.
When someone's giving you a massage, you just expect them to have clothes on. That's all.
Right.
I don't want them to be naked.
In fact, I thought that was a law, but.
It might be.
I mean, it's California. I'm surprised it's.
Yeah, right?
Well.
I'm not going to turn them in.
You don't even know which one it is.
I could find it.
Spas. So many. But I will say the facility was clean, nice. People were friendly. People at the front desk spoke English, which was appreciated because then it was easier to get my services. The lockers were clean and secure. They had fluffy robes.
See, that part sounds
nice. Out of 5 stars, what do you give them?
So that's not really fair because I was so thrown that I would give them maybe 1 star because I was just like, what is happening? This is crazy. But if I were to go back and I knew what to expect, I'd probably give them 3.
Oh.
So it's still not a 5-star.
You got warm lotion and cucumber flung all over you. And
exactly. It was fucking weird.
Yeah. Huh. I can imagine like the cucumber, they grate it because then it probably gets more of the, you know, the goodness, the nutrients. But, you know, because everybody always puts and cucumbers in masks all the time. But shredding it directly onto your face.
Well, it's fresh. I mean, they shred it right there. Not directly.
Next to your head.
They shred it into their palm and then they get a big compote thing. And then they.
Just imagining them with like a cheese grater and just like cucumber flying until it piles up on your face.
And they're like, that should be good. Oh, there's one more spot. Oh, better spill that. No, they put a warm washcloth on my face while they were grating. So I could hear the grating, but I didn't know what they were grating.
You had a washcloth on your face?
Yeah, so I couldn't see anything. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? What is that noise?
They're going to just.
Yeah. Is she getting. She's like sharpening
we're just gonna
a knife.
Use this grater to exfoliate you.
I'm like, oh, this is not gonna be good.
You're like, this works awesome for exfoliation. It's a little bit painful.
It'll only take off a couple layers. But I've been to a really nice like high-end spa where they put like a cucumber on your eyes and that's just fucking stupid. A cucumber on your eyes, like, really?
I always smear it all over my face. I slice cucumbers and then I smear them everywhere on my face.
Yeah,
I tend to just put them in salads.
And then water sometimes and when we have
sometimes
parties.
I pickle them.
I love your pickled cucumbers. They are delicious. In fact,
they're very hydrating, though, for your skin. Mm. And they have lots of good stuff in them. I don't know what, but.
But I'm going to just believe
they have
that
better
that's
stuff
true.
In them when you pickle them.
Yeah, I know. I'd definitely rather eat them than put them
wear
on
them
my
on your
face.
But we should make hamburgers.
But it's a thing, you know.
It's a thing. Yeah.
It's just always
I just think the Koreans are onto something. The Korean spa
people. Well, they know about skincare, you know.
They totally do. That's so great skin.
I would trust them to shred cucumber and put it on my face.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not with Irish Spring, though.
No, that sounds
cheap, gross, stinky. Ugh. Dad used to use Irish Spring when we were kids, I think. I remember Irish Spring. It's a really strong smell.
Yeah. I just remember the thing I remember about Dad is he always wore the original Speed Stick, the green, that smell.
Really?
Yep. He always wore the green original Speed Stick.
Huh.
And that smell, it's very
permeated, you know, in your brain. Yeah.
That definitely, it's like heavily associated
with Dad.
Mm-hmm.
So why in his later years did he just like give up on?
Because he had fucking dementia.
Deodorant. Like he just stopped using deodorant at one point, and oh my God, he was so stinky.
And was that during his Mexico time?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it was dementia. I always just thought he just decided not to use deodorant anymore.
Well, he'd been doing the Mexico thing before, yeah. Before then, but I think he had dementia for about 15 years. I mean, I think that's when it first started.
Yeah, he'd been going to Mexico since before we were born.
So it wasn't
it's not like that,
but I'm trying to put everything together with when
and you're like,
all
the
personality
Dad got nicer
change started.
And stopped caring about his.
Yeah, he got a lap dog. And stopped dressing meticulous, you know, like.
Yeah, he stopped, like,
he used to be very meticulous about
cutting his hair,
everything.
Wearing
but that's
deodorant.
Been long. He grew his beard out long before then, so he can't blame it all on dementia. But I think a lot of it definitely was, and we just didn't realize.
Didn't know it.
Yeah, because you have a major personality shift, you know.
Yeah, he got
that,
nice.
That very, yeah. We're like, oh, he's getting old.
No,
and that happened
just
about
dementia.
Around the time that they got Dottie was when I noticed a pretty drastic change. And that was, you know, 15 years ago.
Dottie, the little Shih Tzu. So adorable. We love Dottie.
Yeah, she's the cutest.
She's a good dog. Mm-hmm. We talked about getting a dog.
So 20 years ago, he was still wearing army fatigues.
Totally.
Yeah.
He was pretty radical.
So that crazy happened before.
Yeah. Yeah, Chad met him in the army fatigue days.
Oh, yeah. Everyone says I look like Fidel Castro.
Not cool?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
He didn't.
Or Osama. Osama bin Laden. Now everyone's saying Osama bin Laden.
Because he had a beard?
And fatigue, you know, and I'm like, yeah, that's not a good thing. He's known as the guy who, committed a terrorist attack on our country.
A crazy motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. One man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter.
That's a true story. Speaking of podcasts, just want to give a shout out to... No? You don't want to give a shout out? Oh, you don't want me to keep hitting the mic like that. Sorry, listener. No, Bundyville. It's awesome. It's a really good podcast.
Yeah, I still need to listen.
So I'm listening to the second season, and it's based up in our neck of the woods. I'm not totally through it, so I don't have a lot to say about it yet. But speaking of terrorists, domestic terrorism, and just batshit crazy people, you know, our family.
Right.
Or people they know.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, that was really weird when Wayne, speaking of.
Oh, yeah, Wayne?
Yeah. When Wayne was like talking about Ruby Ridge.
Totally.
He's like, oh, that. Randy Weaver, he's a nice guy. He wasn't anything like they said. And I'm like, hold up. you knew Randy Weaver. And then like, he's like, yeah, your parents knew. Because everyone would always make fun of me about that. They're like, oh, you guys know Ruby Ridge people? I'm like, no, not everybody up there knows everybody. And those people are crazy. And we weren't that kind of crazy. And then it turns out, well, I guess we did.
We are that kind of crazy.
But I knew that because mom.
I thought I remembered it, but I also like to deny it because for so many years.
Oh, you're from Northern Idaho.
Yeah. Oh, well. Oh, but did you guys know Randy Weaver? That's like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Everyone
I totally knew
him.
Randy Weaver. He was our best friend. It's like, well, it turns out they weren't our best friends, but we did hang out with them sometimes.
But that's not true. Mom went up there once and she said they were fucking nuts. And she was like, these people are crazy.
Yeah.
So,
yes. Yeah,
which
don't
is
say.
Funny, your mom saying that.
Yeah, exactly. Mom's like, I don't know.
Sorry. That takes a
sorry
lot.
Sorry if you're the one listener.
Mama. Yeah.
Sorry, mama. Sorry, listener.
No, but she
if
said
you're our mom.
That they went up there for like some business reason, like dad. And it probably reason. Had to do
training
with
pelts.
Wayne. Yeah, they were probably training pelts.
Training pelts for guns or bootleg liquor.
One of those things. Exactly. But I'm guessing
surprise,
it had
cornbread.
A connection. Our mom made the best Kahlua. That's probably what it was. Trading Kahlua for corn.
For some window crystals.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, shit. Totally.
For a dream catcher and a rifle.
Not just any rifle, mind you. Inlaid. This is some beautiful walnut right here. No, no. So they went up there and now it was probably Wayne who had the connection and dad probably went up there to do a
clearly,
business deal.
Yeah.
And mom was like, yeah, they had an extra house for the women when they were on their periods because the women were not allowed to be in the main house when they were on their periods because they were unclean.
Are you sure that wasn't some other group of crazy people that lived up in
why
the
differentiate
woods?
At this point?
No, I'm pretty sure it was.
I know they were pretty religious.
You know what? I could be conflating.
It could we'll be somebody else because we knew a lot of weird people.
We do.
Like, remember the family?
I mean,
that,
did.
That lived
Freudian
out.
Slip.
They homeschooled their kids.
Oh, those people were fucking crazy. No, and it wasn't them. It wasn't them because they hung out with us.
Those people, like, they didn't know what pizza was. And I'm like,
what? In the Sam house?
I thought we were weird. Yeah. And I thought we were isolated. And then I'm like, how these motherfuckers not know what pizza is?
You call somebody, they bring it
no,
to you.
No, we didn't have that benefit. We had to cook it.
Right, but I mean, yeah.
We did have frozen pizza. Mom used to make homemade pizza.
The reason why I found out, though, the pizza thing was much later when Dad and I lived in town and we did order a pizza and they were like, we can't eat this.
What?
They said they couldn't eat it and I said, why? And they're like, well, we don't eat meat. And then I was like, well, we can't.
Just get it without meat.
Yeah, and then they said, yeah, well, we don't eat cheese. And I was like, oh, because they were vegan or whatever, but it was really because they didn't know what pizza was. And then when we showed them, they were like,
oh, we can eat that. What were their names? Paula.
Paula and Dan.
Paula and Dan. Yeah, they were really weird people.
They were weird, but they were nice.
Super
I don't think
nice.
They were like, you know, any kind
they
of
lived
like
in
extremist
a
besides just being weirdo. Like,
they lived in a bus and they homeschooled their kids. They
yeah.
had three children.
Who were like,
the kids
wow.
were weird.
They were way out of touch with
anything.
Modern
yeah.
society. Like they did not know what pizza was. Like,
right, right, right.
They had weird rules about everything. And it could have been just in my kid mind, like you guys have a bunch of weird rules and really they were just like vegan or you know, and like religious. But they definitely did not have any.
Were they
like,
religious?
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't remember if they were, but I'm going to assume they were. And they didn't know
it
anything
was
about
Northern
like,
Idaho after all.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they didn't know anything about modern music or
no, they didn't have any. They didn't have electricity.
But they didn't congregate with any other people. It wasn't like they were belonged to some group.
And of
if they
course
were religious.
They befriended Dad, or I should say Dad befriended them.
Yeah.
I wonder how they met.
They were just
they probably met at a barter fair.
Probably. I would guess that's where they
that's
met.
Where Mom and Dad picked up all their loose their stray friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
Do you remember, I think about this little kid every once in a while. There's this one guy who had a girlfriend, or his wife's name was Billy. And he had children, and Billy was the new wife. Do you need us to give you a moment? Is it the rosemary? You're inhaling.
Yeah, I inhaled.
Down the wrong pipe.
Yeah.
You're supposed to drink it, Lily.
Well, it's warm. Like the ice is melted. That's how long it's taken me to. And I was like,
it's a little strong.
Yeah.
Listener, strong. We're having gin fizzes. We put a little rosemary and orange in it, and it's fucking delicious. We'll put the recipe
it
on
is
there.
Delicious.
On the website. Actually, I think we told them we'd do that last time, and we didn't. You know, this podcast that's should be called What Are You Drinking Now?
Yeah. Stop making promises you can't keep.
No, we tried to put everything on the website.
You should put the recipe of the drink you know you're going to make on the site before the podcast.
So and they can drink along?
Yeah.
whoa, such a good idea.
And then you won't forget it too. You know, you'll be like, it's there right now. Look at it right now.
Yeah, I'll forget it.
Make a drink.
You know, we're totally going to remember that.
You know, and who knows how our listener listens to this. It could be through Stitcher. It could be through Overcast. It could be
our listener can be driving and not drinking. I'm just going to say, listener, if you're driving, please don't drink and drive.
And if you drink, don't drive.
Amen, brother.
And definitely don't mix cocktails in your vehicle.
It's so messy.
That's distracted driving.
It's have you ever tried to driving, juice Meyer lemons sticky. While driving?
It's just not going to go well. I tried it once. It wasn't good.
And you have to have the zest. You can't just make this without the zest.
Yeah, without the zest. You're going to cut yourself. It's just not the same thing. Yeah. And no cutting. We don't want you to cut your fingers off. Those digits are all critical.
Yeah, it just seems unwise to have a traveling bar kit
in your car. Fucking brilliant. We're so doing that. Next time we go camping, we'll just have a traveling drink kit in the back. We won't put it in the front. We'll put it in the back.
Shaking cocktails.
Yes, Chad? You want us to get back to our story?
Yeah, I was going to say, let's get back to the stray people that your parents...
Okay, so he married this woman named Billy, and they had this little boy that was just... There's just something really wrong with him. And the mom...
Boy ain't right.
He was like emotionally messed up. And his mom used to beat him and put him in the closet. And he was like maybe 5 when we met them.
Jesus.
Yeah. And I don't know if you don't remember them. The look on your face is like, I don't know what you're talking about. But mom, as I asked her about it recently, but that he found out that that the woman was totally abusing this little kid, divorced her, and then he married this woman, Billy. And yeah, it was just like so disturbing. Like this woman was so abusive to this poor little kid. And he was like, you could tell he was messed up. He had so many problems, emotional problems. He would like act out. But I remember at one point he was like covered in flour, and I don't know why.
I remember some kid being covered in flour and crying.
Yeah.
And we were laughing because
we thought it was
so
cute.
Hilarious.
We were like, what's wrong with this kid? And then later I found out like he was really.
Oh, he's like scared.
Yeah. But why was he covered in flour?
Because he got into flour in the kitchen. I remember that, but I didn't remember the story behind the kid, but I remember he.
It was
got
like 4 or
into, like
5.
We had a bin, you know? Like
yeah,
a bin
flour.
Full of flour. Yeah, and he got into it.
We had a bin flour.
But I remember it being like, I thought it was baby powder. But I do remember that whole thing happening, and it was all over.
It was just covered in flour. It was like white.
And he was crying, and you could see little streaks rolling. Yeah,
and little pink lines
of tears.
Yeah.
But I didn't remember the story, and I honestly didn't remember who the kid was, but I do remember the incident. But I remember it more that it was baby powder, but maybe it was just because the visual in my mind, you know, you see a kid just covered. Yeah, I have no idea how that happened.
And maybe you never found out, you were never told the story about his abuse.
Probably not. Why would you tell me?
Yeah, you were too little.
I mean, I was like 5. So Lily...
I'm gonna tell you some real
nightmarish shit.
Let me tell you, kid. You're gonna want to hear this one. No, you weren't 5. You were like 8. But still, that's too
still young enough to still, horrify a kid.
Yeah, still too young to be having.
Because I was probably 12 or 13.
This kid's been abused. Maybe something was said to
this
me.
This kid used to get locked in the closet and beat up by his mama.
Well, we had lots of. I remember always the kids. I do remember being explained. At times, and probably not in detail, but like this kid doesn't have it easy. Gotta be nice to them. That happened a lot.
It did. It happened a lot.
Well, because we grew up around a bunch of kids who were like,
yeah,
isolated, weirdo parents that homeschooled them.
I like how you air quote that every time you say it. Homeschooled.
Well, because you know it's
it
not
wasn't
like,
a real home.
No, I mean it wasn't a real school either.
Right. There's light on both home and schooling.
Yeah, they're like we actually it's not home and it's not school. We live in a
bus.
Travel trailer or a bus, and
down
my school,
by the river.
Yeah. I mean, I'm teaching them how to can things.
We were always in some like bizarre backwoods area with people in buses and no electricity and fucking I remember these goats one time, and the goats were really super mean, and the woman used to milk and make cheese and sell goat cheese. I hated goat's milk and goat's cheese for years because of that smell of goats.
I've just never liked goats.
Well, I love goat cheese.
But I don't. I love goat cheese. I never want to eat goat. It's not my thing.
I've never.
And I don't like goats as companions or friends.
No, I see them. I'm like, yeah.
They're about the least friendly animal in the barnyard.
Yeah, they seem very suspect.
They're very suspect. They can everyone's just like, oh, they're turn so cute. On you at I'm any like, time. Fuck that goat.
Yeah,
I don't trust it. Nefarious.
They're all pokey and sharp, and they just
they're like headbutting you.
Like, oh yeah, what? Right.
They really like headbutting you.
Yeah, they headbutt, and they're like.
So Lily and I saw some goats yesterday at Farmer Bill's, and all of the horns were cut off.
I think that's normal, and then they heal over. You can't have them having horns.
I guess not. Seems sad.
Yeah, to be honest, before that point, I never really made the connection that goats probably all have horns, and the domestic goats, they cut them off.
Ugh. Yeah, because you can't have one of them sticking you in the leg and bleeding you out in your barnyard.
That's a good
point. Yeah, I never really thought about it either until yesterday. It was just the babies, because you could see that they had recently
done it,
had it cut off, and they were all kind of red and healing.
Well, and I just learned from Scott the other weekend that goats and all of those, I don't know.
Mountain goats?
Goats. Those horns, they just grow and grow.
Yeah, they keep growing. They don't stop.
And
they fall
deer.
Off.
Yeah, those are antlers. And those,
they fall off every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the difference between horns and antlers.
Yeah.
I did not know that until the other weekend.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what the fuck?
That's why you see them in the wild all the time.
Yeah, I know. I just always thought deer had died there.
Oh,
I know.
Really?
Scott, it was like, what do you think that he's like when you're in the forest and you see? And I was like, yeah, I just assumed that a deer had died there.
Or one lost its antler.
Well,
or whatever.
I just thought they grew the fuzz and then they grew and then the fuzz fell off. I didn't make the connection that they were.
So I wonder, do reindeer lose their antlers?
Yeah, because it's antlers.
Because they're
antlers
beautiful. And horns.
Yeah. So they've got that.
So I didn't know that reindeer
fuzz,
lost
the velvet that's on that's on the antler.
Right.
You know, and then they
every
rub
year.
It against a tree and then they rub the.
Yeah. Fucking cool.
Because I think that's like the blood supply to it as it's growing so quickly.
Oh, okay.
And they rub that
off. Yeah, I knew deer
and,
lost their antlers every year. Elk.
I never knew that. I don't know how. And I mean, it totally makes sense now that I
now that you
think
have that
about
knowledge,
it.
And you're like, oh, yeah. I
but it just
that.
Never occurred to me. And yeah, and that's what Scott was like, what do you think? And I was like, well, what about. And he's like, no, that's the difference between horns
and antlers.
Antlers. And I'm like, oh.
Scott's incredibly knowledgeable.
Well, I feel like that's just something that,
Like, he's just like, has so much information. I'm like, wow, he knows so much stuff. It's crazy. Maybe it's just because he's in his 50s. That just happens.
Well,
to
and
people.
I mean, it's just stuff that, too, that's all like.
He's on the cusp of now forgetting all that shit.
That's right. In your 40s and 50s, you're like the fucking smartest you're ever going to be. Your 60s hit, meh. 70s, getting more. 80s, you've forgotten it all. It's gone.
Right. Well, and he just has practical.
Practical knowledge.
That's part of like the, mm-hmm. the kind of like country, like redneck kind of lifestyle. It's like practical knowledge.
Totally.
Like that. Hank Williams Jr. song
that we were listening
we
earlier.
We can scan
today.
Our own stuff, and we can make drinks.
And they can fish. They can make
fucking
moonshine.
Hell.
We can make our own ranch dressing. Yeah, they're.
We can fast track this diabetes.
Yeah. They can do it all. Obviously, you know, like the whole song. You're like, yeah, well,
they don't need city people. No. Country folk will survive.
Yeah.
Country boy wheels.
We can make our own Netflix.
We can make our. Never mind. I'm
they're like, we're going to start our own nation state with only white people and it'll be full of hate. Yeah, they've got their whole, like, they, but I mean, it's true. Like, That's the thing with redneck country mentalities. You, totally. You have to know things.
You do have to know things.
You have to know things.
Okay, so we were talking about this earlier, that you have a friend who's like total city boy.
Not total now, city boy, but yeah.
Okay, but he's trying, he's like, he's doing the country thing and, you know.
Yeah.
And he's like thinking you're the city girl. Put the two of you out. Okay.
Kind of. Just kind of like
Naked and Afraid.
No. I wish, but no, I mean, it's just kind of like condescending because I think that he thinks because I'm into like art She's and culture liberal, and stuff and yeah. I'm a liberal and he's not like socially conservative, but he's definitely has this kind of leanings towards these ideas of libertarianism and conservatism on some
levels. He wants to be a prepper.
And he's all about homesteading and, you know, and like living off the land and all these.
Right.
But yeah, he's just always kind of like, whatever these kind of subjects comes up, it's always like, oh, you don't understand because, you know.
You're just a city girl.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't say, because, you're a city, but you can tell that he's like, yeah, well, and I always have to remind him, I'm like, dude, the dream you want to live
is my childhood.
How I grew up.
Right.
And also, yeah, I mean, it's like, also, dude, as much as you think you know, and like, you're really into that whole, like, lifestyle, like, if we got dropped off out in the forest with like a backpack and a tiny knife. And, you know, it's like, let's check on each other in a week and
let's see who survives.
See who's fucking scared.
So Lily's going to be like, have survived. All these rabbit friends and
rabbit friends. Like, I do love rabbits, but it'd have to be more than a week out in the woods for me to eat one, to be honest.
But you would be able to kill it.
I don't
You'd
know.
Be able to trap get... it, skin it, cook it. Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
You'd,
edible
you would
plants.
Survive.
And
yeah,
I would die of rabbit starvation.
Yeah,
that's true. Actually, that's true. You don't
get
enough
fat in your diet
from rabbit.
Oh,
of course, it'd take longer than a week.
It'd take longer than a week. Yeah, is like, what I'm saying. So I wouldn't have to murder anything.
Yeah, mushrooms.
But I could.
Yeah, we would be eating roots. Yeah.
Yeah.
Edibles. It'd
yeah, you don't have to. Now in the winter, that would suck more, but. But still, I mean, it's just like he's always discounting anything I say or have opinions about things too that has to do with that kind of stuff. And I'm like, I was indoctrinated. Yeah. Like, I know this stuff and I know like the reality of it.
I lived in a one-room log cabin with like, no running water or electricity, motherfucker. Back off.
Well, you wear fancy shoes and
I was potty trained in an outhouse.
Yeah, I was. I always tell people that. Well, I was body trained in an outhouse.
And they're like, wait, what?
You sounds had an great, though. Wait, it's, what? Like it's a good story, though.
That should be the beginning of your memoir.
Yeah. But it's true.
That's going to be in my memoir, by the way.
It's a good talking point, you know? It's like, well.
I was body trained.
Well, I had to tell the people that I rented the place up in Sandpoint, you know?
Yeah.
When I first got back from the East Coast. And they were like, oh, I don't know if you've ever used, you know, how to composting toilet. Do you know how to start a fire? We started a fire for you. Do you know how to?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. And I, you know, I was like,
yeah, good.
I got this.
Lily's got a thumbs up for our listener.
Yeah. Like, I'm good. Hippies. I know how to do this.
I may look certified. I know
they were
I just came
so
from
nice
Boston.
Though, but they were like, okay, well, we just, like the guy is like, I built a fire. And he's like, if you don't want it to go out, you just keep, you open this thing. He's like, this is called a flue. And I'm like, I was like, I got it. And then like, you know, they were just like telling me like, it's cause it was an off grid cabin listener. Just so you know. So, in Idaho.
Grid.
And that's the reason why I picked it. Cause I was like, yeah, cool. This will be cool. But they were all like, okay, well, do you understand how all this operates? And I was like, yeah. It's like, I'm good. Thank you. I got it.
This little girl, she's going to figure it all out.
Yeah. It's like, I'm good. I understand the concept of a composting toilet. That's what I told them. Though I said, I was actually potty trained in an outhouse. And they were like, oh, well, that's nice.
That's interesting.
Yeah. They were Why? So cute, though. They're great. I want to go. I'm going to go stay there again, I think.
I want to go stay there. It looked awesome.
I wanted to do it in the summer because it's right by the river. Like the river is down into kind of the valley. But you could walk, you know, you could totally even walk there. But it was so beautiful in the fall. and to be able to build a fire at night. And
yeah, I'd like to do both.
Yeah, I know. That I'm like, I just kind of want to live there. I was like, hey, what do you guys think about, here's the deal. How much do you make off this Airbnb? And they do have internet. It was not very reliable. But, you know, how much money do you make off this yearly? Because...
yeah, that'd be cool.
It would suck in the winter because I would have to walk down, park the car down by the... it's not that far of a walk, though. But it's so cute, and it's such a beautiful view. Mm-hmm. I really did contemplate that. I'm like, maybe I need to call those two. Their names are Kirk and Arrow.
Really?
Kirk and Arrow, yeah.
Damn.
They were really cool.
I'm
going
to change my name to Arrow. Come on, Mishka.
Yeah, they were great. And I'm like, I could live up here.
Cool. Where? So they were outside of Sandpoint?
Mm-hmm. Cool. North of just north of Sandpoint.
Isn't that Calgary at that point?
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah, you only go so much further north until you're in Canada.
That's that. Yeah, so pretty. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Chad, tell us about your childhood.
My childhood? Well... I was the son of two factory workers who were in turn the son and daughter of factory workers.
Who were the son, and, daughter of factory workers. That's probably not true. Did it go back three generations?
Probably. I don't know. I don't know for sure, but probably.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was, it was during the heyday of Union Power.
Right. So Union Power.
My parents had good paying jobs, you know, for being factory workers.
Yeah.
And good health benefits, which really, I think, hurt me more than it helped me during my childhood.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah.
So.
It was pretty fucking bland vanilla living.
You should probably tell our listener why you think that your good health care ruined your childhood.
Explain that.
Yeah.
Well, because I don't think I was really all that sick, but the battery of tests and whatnot that I had to go through in order to...
endure.
Yeah, in order to diagnose something that was maybe probably happening, yeah, or maybe just a natural thing.
Right.
Yeah, was probably worse than...
So what you're saying is like when anything happened, oh, Chad looks a little peakish today. I think I'll take him to the doctor.
Ooh, away we go.
Chad looks a little pale today. I think I'll take him to the doctor.
It wasn't quite that bad, but okay. I mean, it was.
You had a lot of ear infections, though.
I had ear infections for my entire childhood.
Which if my child had ear infections and I had health insurance, I'd take him to the doctor, too.
Yeah, well.
In your parents' defense.
I would also not fucking smoke in the house.
I was just going to say, it was probably, I think that was a common thing in the 80s.
It totally was.
People smoked in their houses and kids would get ear infections and a bunch of other stuff, you know.
Yeah, respiratory issues.
Yeah, and, oh, asthma.
It must be.
I wonder what this could be.
Totally.
Blowing smoke in their kid's face.
Yeah, they're looking in your ear and smoking at the same time.
Complained about it the whole, you know, the entire time.
Yeah,
like in the car, in the house, like Jesus fucking Christ,
stop smoking,
give it a rest.
Yeah,
you did. You complained about it. Most kids didn't smoke, complain.
They would smoke on the floor of the fucking factory.
That's crazy.
Like not just them, but like I know, everyone. Right?
Can you imagine? Well, and your mom died of
COPD and
her parents
emphysema.
Died of COPD
and
lung
emphysema.
Cancer. Yeah.
Her brother died of COPD and emphysema.
Yeah, a whole fucking family taken out by COPD and emphysema. And yet they kept smoking.
Didn't put two and two together.
Right.
And, you know, maybe that was the time and, you know, people weren't educated like that. But it's like, I got to believe that if you're taking something into your lungs constantly, that you're like, well... I mean, they call it smoker's cough, right?
Right.
And yeah.
For generations.
Reason. Right.
Yeah. Wow.
Well.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was so stoked when California passed the ban on smoking in bars.
So was I. I was a bartender. Changed my life.
Yeah. That's when they finally did it in Oregon. Oregon did it after Washington. And I was like, thank God.
It was so fucking awful. That's right. You did.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm pretty sure I smoked about 5 packs of cigarettes tonight somehow on my shift.
Totally.
And when they finally, I was like, thank God. It was awful.
It was so stinky.
It was so awful.
Yeah. It was awful. Mom used to send me presents when I first moved to San Diego when she was still a smoker. So she would send me birthday presents or Christmas presents or whatever. And I would get the package and I would open it up and I would have to put it out on the, I'd have to put it out on the porch for like a week so it could air out before I could even bring it into the house. It smelled so bad.
Yeah. It's because she smoked in the house.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it just permeates everything. It's awful. And people still smoke.
I rarely see anyone that's an actual cigarette smoker these days.
They're all playing the douche flutes.
Yeah, that, or they just don't, they don't, I mean, I don't really see, you know, you used to always see people like on the street corners, you know, outside of buildings when, or their work
standing
or whatever.
Around smoking.
Well, I don't see that anymore.
I see it all the time around here because I ride my motorbike everywhere. So everyone's open fucking window I'm subjected to.
So you can smell.
So I've got, you know, my open face helmet. And it's like, ah, Jesus, which one of these cars in front of me is smoking?
Right. I do. Every once in a while, I can smell it if like one of my neighbors is. But I don't really, I feel like I still feel like I don't see it like I used to at all.
You know what? When Chad and I were in Oregon, in Portland, about, I don't know, was that 3 years ago? We were at that conference. So many smokers.
There's a lot of people in Portland that still smoke. I was really shocked by it, you know, when I was there, in the fall.
It's like, wow.
Young people.
Yeah, young people. Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, really? Come on. Don't you know better?
Yeah, I was really very surprised. Very surprised. I don't even really see it in Spokane. I just don't. In Boston, I never saw people.
Philadelphia. Smoking. I remember in Philly, that was a huge smoker city.
Yeah.
Everyone fucking smoked there. But I have to say, this was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last time we were there.
So I'm going to be there in October.
So yeah, check it out and see. Well, you should do
I'm going to be like, I need to go into the city and see how many people are smoking.
Okay. Well, you've got those hand clickers so you can count people.
There you go. I'll take one with you.
Yeah, just take it like an anecdotal like kind of thing because I'd be curious because I feel like I've noticed it in the last... maybe I just don't see people smoking anymore because I don't smoke, but I don't smell it. I don't see people standing around doing it.
I don't notice it either, but I also never leave the house. So that might be part of it.
yeah.
I haven't left the house in a week and a half.
Yeah. I am a total shut in.
That might have something to do with it.
I don't see people doing anything anymore. It's weird.
I don't even see people.
I just don't see people.
I just don't think people are around anymore.
People are just a thing.
I don't know if anyone's alive out there.
I was going to say the apocalypse could have happened, and
I wouldn't even know about it.
Yeah,
and,
the rapture.
I would be forgetful enough to tell you that it happened.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh yeah. By the way, earlier today.
No, you'd be too forgetful to tell me.
I saw people raptured and just lifted up to the heavens.
Yeah,
but don't you know, Chad? I wouldn't even be here. It would just be you.
Ah, dare to dream. I mean, I'd be sad for my loss, but then I wouldn't have to deal with
people. I look forward to that, actually. I wish that Christians would be raptured and be like, see you later. Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you.
Yeah, I would be stoked. I'd just be like, bye. Bye, guys.
Oh, my God.
It'd make everything so much easier. Like 10 years from now, like we would be like so like scientifically advanced and we'd be like, oh, so who's in hell now, huh? Son of a... Yeah, we'd just be sitting out down here like way less population.
No more
population. Like way more advanced.
No more war.
We'd be like, fuck yeah.
I'd be cool, you know, dealing with a little bit of rivers turning to blood and...
Oh yeah, I'm not looking forward to that. But I think the rapture itself is different from like that happens and then the shit supposedly right. You know
you get some
they
time.
Get taken and then the shit happens and it's like or they just You're get taken for a and they get told that so they won't feel guilt you know they won't feel regretful
they're
when
actually
they
going to
when they're like looking back down and be like wait
farm.
A second everything's way cooler now
it's like wait
you can't, there's, it's a one way ticket guys.
It can't come back.
Can't come back.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know.
You're in your special place now.
I hope you like those streets of gold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's that treating you? Pretty boring, isn't it?
I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints.
Yeah.
Sinners are much more fun.
Totally. That's a great quote.
I think I might bust out into song, except that I'd sing out of key and that would be embarrassing.
Nobody needs to hear any of us singing.
Chat.
Right listener?
Right listener? Our listener's like, I don't know. I haven't really heard you sing. Actually, Chad and I bust out into song quite often, and I don't even realize we're doing it, and I'm like, oh, shit. I just did that.
That's crazy.
Damn it. Just gotta stop singing. One day, Chad even brought in the ukulele. There's the constant conversation about eventually having some sort of a theme song, but I think we've just pretty much given up on that idea.
No, you definitely, Chad, you should make a theme song. For sure.
We go back and forth.
You have to have your intro music.
Do we, though?
Yeah, I think you do.
Yeah, because we just talk, right? So, I don't know.
It'd be pretty fun to have.
Well, okay, I think we're going to leave it up to our listener. So, if our listener thinks we should have a theme song, go ahead and log onto the website, marriedwithchickens.com, and go to the contact form and just let us know. What do you think? And give us kind of an idea of like what type of music. Like,
we're pick a good. Style.
Yeah, pick a style. I mean, hip hop, country, western, R&B, jazz.
Death metal.
Oh, yeah. Death metal would be good. Anything but like easy listening. Although I do have to say, I have to give a shout out to Kenny G.
Why?
Speaking of easy listening. So Marie, our mutual friend, Marie, she works at a venue in town that Kenny G was playing at. And,
wow.
And she said, yeah, I don't want to work that night. And her boss was like, no one wanted to work the Kenny G show. And he's like, God damn it, you guys. Yeah, poor Kenny G. And he's like, God damn it, you guys, someone's got to work. And so Marie's like, okay, fine, I'll work. But then the opener for Kenny G canceled. And her boss called her and said, hey, do you mind opening for Kenny G?
Changed her tune.
And she was like, yeah. So she opened for Kenny G, and so he totally supported her, and he came out on stage and like listened to her play, and then even walked out on stage and addressed the crowd and said, wasn't that fabulous? He pronounced her name right, and the whole crowd like went wild. It was like one of the best audiences she'd ever had.
She probably felt guilty.
She felt so guilty. She's like, oh my God, Kenny G's like one of the nicest guys I've ever met.
Aww.
And he was so supportive and sweet. And like, she sold a ton of albums. Like everyone would, his audience loves her music.
That's hilarious.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Hilarious with a little bit of a sting.
I mean, I would feel like a total jackass.
Oh my God. Right.
But no, I was thinking more.
And also
that,
just like, yeah, oh, she's making audience, fun of. Yeah. And then it's like, well, music. Turns out Kenny G fans also love you.
Oh, no.
She's like, but why?
But why?
Because you were
the
there
same.
And they're Kenny G fans. They're obviously not picky.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, she was probably like, wait a minute.
You got to kind of give a shout out to him, though. He is in terms of musicianship.
I don't know anything about him.
He's a good musician, but God, apparently. His music is boring.
Yeah. It's
sorry,
like Muzak, isn't it?
It's totally. So, Lily, I want to thank you for coming on the podcast.
Number 10.
Yeah. Number 10, baby.
Happy 10th podcast. It was great.
Thank you. Yeah, it was kind of awesome. Thanks for sharing some memories.
Yeah.
Your potty
frozen
train.
Pictures on the mind. Yeah.
There we go. A little
pretty
bit of singing.
Watercolor memories.
If only we had Kenny G backing you up, it would just be perfect.
Oh, it would be.
We'd have the sublime ending. Mm-hmm. But instead, we'll just have to say good night.
Good night, listener.
Good night.
And good night.